This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sehat alhamdulillah langsung.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Hayya 'ala al-falah.
صلي على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى محمد والتام والصلاة. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey in looking at awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friends that He selects or He blesses upon them. As we mentioned, based upon the verse inside the Quran, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the friend, the ally, the protector of those individuals who believe. And this journey of these previous few ahadith have been speaking about the friends of Allah, their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their characteristics. The characteristics of these ibadur rahman, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how they want to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus today's hadith will continue to complete the characteristics of continuing to be the friend of Allah, whereby the previous hadith we stopped or we paused upon, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُطِيَنَّ. If he was to ask me, then I will give it to him. And if he was to seek refuge or protection from me, I will protect him. Those are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah responds to their call. And even though He may not give the response upon this dunya, they have that yaqeen. They have that certainty that maybe some calamity that is befalling me or calamity which is upon me is going to be weakened, is going to be taken away. That's, you find that some of the ulama, they mention that trials and tribulations, if they come upon you, وَيُقَرِّبُكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and they bring you closer to Allah, it's not no longer a trial. It's no longer a tribulation. If it awakens you, reminds you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings you closer to Allah, in essence it's a blessing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He loves His servants, and He wants to show that love towards His servants, what may seem to us to be trials and tribulations and afflictions and difficulties, but in essence they are all a method, asbab min Allah, all formats and ways for us to come to drag us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasir fi dhalik, that we find that yawmiyan, every single day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries, or using word linguistically, drags us towards Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives us all the avenues. Amma al-kafara, those who disbelieve, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves them alone. Al-istidraj, leaves them alone to enjoy this world, leaves them alone to drift further and further in this dunya, even though He also shows them His signs as well subhanahu wa ta'ala, but doesn't care less about them, lets them drift away. But as for the Muslim, every single day opportunity is given for the believer to reflect and to begin to think, and think that this is a way for me to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith responds or speaks about that individual, the obscure, the unknown believer. The believer is not known by the people. And we're going to touch upon that, because many of us, we want to be known by the people. We want to be recognized by the people. But the real believer is the one who wants to be recognized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what who the real believer is. He's focusing that I get recognized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though in this hadith, there's some da'af, some weakness inside this hadith, but because it follows the silsila, the series of ahadith that we're covering, so we have to cover this hadith. And we want to go to a tangent at the tangent about ahadith which are da'ifa, ahadith which are weak that we find. Ulama have highlighted shurut, وعلى رأسهم إمام أحمد رحمة الله عليه وابن الصلاح في مقدمة، likewise Ibn Kathir, الباعث
hadith, speaking about ulum al-hadith, that we have to find the middle ground, because some people just see that a hadith is da'if and the person who may narrate it and conclude that this person narrates weak narrations. You find shurut have been placed by the ulama. أَلَّا يَكُونَ ضَعْفُهُ شَدِيدًا. That his weakness is not severe. It's not munkar. It's not totally rejected. وَلَهُ asas. There's a foundation of authenticity that existed. وَمِنْ بَابِ التَّرْغِيبُ النَّاسِ. Encouraging people. But a foundation that authenticity exists of other narrations. And likewise, تُبَيِّنِ النَّاسِ. And you explain to people this is a weak narration. And this is what we find, unfortunately, inside our community. That you find, unfortunately, daily a hadith are read to our local community. And there's weaknesses, there's discrepancies in these, many of these works of fada'il, or books of virtues that we find. And when a person highlights it, they say, who are you to speak about this? We're not anything. But ulama of hadith have made critique about books of fada'il. And some ulama have left checking certain books of fada'il, saying that hadith after hadith is not just da'if, it's munkar. It's very weak, it's fabricated, it's evil. They leave these books. And that's why Imam Muslim, inside his Muqaddama, going back to Ibn Sirin, لَوْلَا الْإِسْنَادَ لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ. If it wasn't for the isnad of narrations of ahadith, anyone can narrate what they want to narrate. But al-Islam is based upon asanid, about authenticity. So that's why we have to go and rectify inside our society, that we will narrate ahadith, the role of the ulama, wal-a'imma, al-ajilla, ulama around us, a'imma around us, who give the khutab, who give the sermons, who give the admonition, who teach people. They should teach the people that these narrations are not authentic. They're not correct. Teach the people so people worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basira, upon foresightedness, upon ilm, not upon fabricated narrations and myths and fables and stories. That's not what al-Islam is. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah and his Nuniya, al-Qasidatu Nuniya, 1,000 lines of poetry. What is deen? Qala Allah, qala Rasul, qala Sahaba. That's what deen is. That's what a Muslim should be teaching the community, authenticity. So even though this hadith may have some weakness inside there, but ulama mentioned ma'nahu sahih. Its meaning is powerful. Its meaning is accurate. There's a lesson, targhib, encouragement for us about how the type of Muslim that we should be. This individual, if I inna aghbada awliya'i indi, لَمُؤْمِنٌ خَفِيفُ الْحَاذِي. You find the most closest, or the most devoted of servants towards me is this servant of mine. That this servant of mine, خَفِيفُ الْحَاذِي, بِمَعْنَى قَلِيلُ الْمَالِ وَالْعِيَالِ. Is a servant who doesn't have much wealth, doesn't have much family members, meaning doesn't have much prestige and honor and much dignity, and not known amongst the people. But this person, this type of individual, is the most devoted of my servants that we find. And thus we find that the poor and the destitute, the weak, the meek, the humble individuals that we find, ba'du riwayat in Sahih Muslim, that we find that the masakeen, the fuqara, the poor individuals will enter into Jannah 40 years. 40 years before the rest of this community. Imam Nawawi, if I'm not mistaken, discusses about 40 sana. These 40 years, are these 40 years of this dunya, or are these 40 years of the akhirah? This hisab, this accountability. Because in the akhirah, we know that the time span gets time multiplied many times over. So maybe by 40,000 years, possibly, that we find the fuqara will enter into Jannah before us. Likewise, in a hadith in Sunnah of Imam Nasa'i, Al-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, he prayed that make me be resurrected, or raise me to be amongst the fuqara wal masakeen. That's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants to be with them. He wants to be resurrected with them. Because these type of individuals who don't have much of this dunya, who don't have much status, you find that their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is committed, is devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذُو حَظٍ مِنَ الصَّلَاتِ. The first sifa, the first characteristic of this individual is a person who's worried about their salah. That's what the whole of their life it revolves around. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاتِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Order yourself, order your family members, wastabir alayha. Not just any form of sabr. It means a total commitment, total yawmiyan devotion and commitment, day in and day out, of being focused towards it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions straight after this, we don't ask you for your provision. We will take care of your provision. Wal aqibatu lit taqwa. Shay'un ajib. Because that's what many people, even Muslims, they say. أين تروح؟ صلي خمس مرات. Going to the masjid 5 times a day. You're going to lose the dunya, lose your wealth, lose business. Wasting your time, may Allah forbid, in this. You lose many things in this dunya. Look what the ayah, the Quran highlights. We don't ask you for any provision, for any wealth. We're going to give you the wealth. We're going to give you the dunya. And ulama have concluded, من أسباب الرزق للعبادي من باب الرزق على العبادي الصلاة على وقتها. Ways of increasing your risk, barakah inside your provisions, is الصلاة على وقتها. الصلاة بالجماعة. Focus upon coming to the congregation, praying on time, being in the masjid. يزيد الرزق. It increases your risk. Not the mindset that may Allah guide some of our Muslims. They think that it takes away my risk. It takes away my business. It takes away my property. But rather it's the opposite. Increases the blessings for that individual that we find. And thus we find in general, excuse the expression, rich people can't care less. And you know, the Quran is strange. The Quran documents the psychological understanding of the people around us. You find the Quran says, قَالُوا يَا شُعِيبُ أَصَّلَاتُكَ تَعْمُرُكَ أَنَّ تُرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا. They said, يَا شُعِيبُ, you know your salah. Your salah that you go and you're performing and telling us to do. Is this going to be something that's going to take away? Is this going to take us away from our forefathers? The things that we want to do. أَوْ أَنَّفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ. That this prayer gets in the way of our political domain. Things of this dunya that we find. That's in general that you find what the rich people will say. It comes in the way of our life. Or you find to mock. To mock Islam. إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ الْحَلِيمُ الرَّشِيدُ. هَذِي الْكَلِمَاتُ السُّخْرِيَّةِ. They're not praising Shu'aib alayhi salam, saying that you are halim, you're forbearing, you're rightly minded, you're a good individual. These are kalimat al-sukhriyah. They're trying to highlight that you just worry about your salah and don't worry about anything else. Don't come and advise us. Don't come and tell us about things of the dunya, because salah has got nothing to do with the dunya. You just worry about your salah. These kalimat of sukhriya, al-istihza, that we find unfortunately that creep into the Muslim community, that to mock mutadayyinun, ya mutawwa, ayna tamshi. Oh, you religious cleric, you religious person, where are you going? Why are you dressed like that? Why do you behave like that? Why do you worry about that? Kalla wa hasha. Inside our own Muslim community, we're not so worried about non-Muslims. It could be something strange for them, the way that we dress and the way that we behave, the etiquettes that we do. For them, it could be strange. Ma'qul. It's understandable. Walakin lil mu'mineen wal muslimin. How can it be strange for a Muslim? Bi'atul Islamiyah, Islamic environment. How can they say that? Why is a woman covering her face? Why is this Muslim dressed like this? Why is a Muslim praying like this? Why is he growing his beard like this? Why is he speaking like this? Aibun alayna. Strange it is. Blame upon us. That bi'atul Islamiyah, Muslim environment. That this becomes our proverbs. This becomes our cliches. This becomes our standard of life. Look how the Quran describes those people. About making sukhriya of the anbiya, the messengers that we find, and mocking Islam. And thus we find this is the way of the anbiya. Prayer becomes the key fundamental aspect of their life. You find Luqman, ya bunayya aqimis salah wa'mur bil ma'ruf wa nha 'anil munkar wasbir 'ala ma asabak. Luqman is advising, ya bunayya aqimis salah. Oh my son, before that he says to his son, ya bunayya la tushrik billah inna ash-shirka la dhulmun 'azim. First advice he gives to his son, gives to his children, لا تشرك بالله. Never commit shirk بالله سبحانه وتعالى. Never inside your life. Stay away from it. Then straight after a shirk that we find, what should a Muslim be doing inside their life? يا بني أقم الصلاة. Oh my beloved son, establish the salah. This is the way of all the messages that we find. واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. Seek aid and assistance inside as-salah. And that's what we find, that when Muslims become over-political at the expense of fundamentals. Look how some Muslims become over-worried about the political climate around us in the world that we find. And we see it day in and day out. That Muslims believe in maybe a certain cause and become vocal about it. And this is no extremity. وَبَعْدُ مَا يُسَلُّونَ Some of them don't pray. قَضِيَةُ الْفِلَسْطِينَ that we find. يُحْرِقْ قُلُوبُنَا It burns our hearts. It burns our mind. It upsets us. But the sad fact that some people who have this concern, مَا يُسَلُّونَ فَأَيِّ فَائِدَةٍ They don't pray inside their lives. You have a burning desire about symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ignite those symbols. Those symbols are ignited via the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't exist in two worlds. You can't believe in a cause and you don't work towards that cause. You don't do the fundamental aspects of that cause of success that we find. Philistine that you find, read the whole history about it. Read even inside the Quran. Sayaqulu as-sufaha, the second juz of Surah Al-Baqarah, you find of the Quran that we find. As-sufaha, the foolish individuals speak about tahwil al-qibla. The change in the Qibla that we find, either 16 months or 18 months, the difference of opinion in the ulama of ulum al-Qur'an. For how long the Muslims prayed towards Baytul Maqdis. It's something that concerns all of us. Whereby the companions, they got worried that their salawat, their prayers for 16 months or 18 months have been wasted. But Allah said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ Allah will not let your iman go to waste, بِمَعْنَا as-salah. These 16 months that you've been praying into the opposite direction, Allah will never let it go to waste. Likewise today, Al-Mu'min alladhi yusalli yawmiyan, Allah never lets it go to waste. Never ever lets the ajr or the action of believers ever go to waste. It all multiplies, it all builds up. You find that mountains, al-jabal min al-asa, mountains are made from small pebbles, from small rocks. That's how a mountain is made. Every single salah is a pebble. That's what it is. Every single salah becomes a pebble, becomes a mountain. Solidifies it, strengthens it. If each one of our pebbles come together, they become the formidable force. The force of al-ummatul islamiyah. And that's why many ulama mention that the day that our masajid, they're rampant, they're full. Just like Yawm al-Jum'ah, they're full. For Salatul Fajri, you'll find that this Muslim Ummah will return back to its glory once again. This is not a myth. This is not some statement. This is a reality that when once again you find that every single day that we're crowding to come inside Salatul Fajr that we find just like Yawm al-Jum'ah, you'll see the success of this Muslim Ummah awakens once again, rescues once again, sees that success. Because these are fundamental parameters that Allah has laid out inside the Quran. And then inside the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam, this is what you need to build towards to come become these successful individuals. Ahsana ibadati rabbihi. This individual, their life becomes focusing their ibadah. Wama al-ihsan in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. Al-ihsan an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarahu fa'in lam takun tarahu. What is al-ihsan? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you see Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. No individual can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside this dunya. لا تدرك الأبصار وهو يدرك الأبصار. No one will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya upon this dunya. But that's how a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find inside a hadith, the person when they stand in front of this salah, Allah is facing that individual. As long as the person doesn't turn away. When a person turns away, Allah turns away from that individual. So here you find this individual, the ibadah, is on the pinnacle level of ihsan, of devotion, commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَطَعُوا فِي السِّرِّ Then this individual, maybe some of us, we become devotional in front of people. But this individual who's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of secrecy, that their inner, their internal conscious, their internal obedience is more focused than the external obedience. That they internally, they're always questioning themselves. They're internally always struggling within themselves to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus you find, they become even more obedient when they're alone. That is what you find a real worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in the community, we strengthen, we encourage, we remind one another. But the real impact of the muttaqi, the real impact of taqwa that we find, the person is obedient all on their own. That's the strength of Islam. Those are the wisdom. The impact of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Look what he did to the people around him by the permission of Allah. He trained these companions, single entities, single individuals, Mu'adh ibn Jabal sent him to the people of Yemen. Ali ibn Abi Talib sent him to the people of Yemen. Sent companions all on their own, sent them individuals. Why? Because why? He knew that he had, by the permission of Allah, trained them to become devoted and committed individuals. One individual goes out to serve an ummah. We are more than 1 billion in number today. What do we place inside our society? What strength do we place inside our youth, inside our community, becoming single individuals who are able to challenge an ummah at large, or to bring the ummah together that we find? وَكَانَ غَامِدًا فِي النَّاسِ. And this individual that we find is obscure among people, unknown. Nobody knows who this individual is. Person just secretly just worries about coming to the masjid, returning to the masjid, worries about worshipping Allah. When they're all alone, worried about being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يُشَارُ إِلَيْهِ بِالْأَصَابِعِ. No one even points this individual. No one points this individual. No one knows who this individual is. But they're fulfilling their duty. And they're not worried about that maybe people may spot them or people don't spot them. All they're worried about, will Allah spot me? Will Allah note it down? Will the angels note it down inside my life? وَكَانَ رِزْقُهُ كَفَافًا. And the risk of this individual that we find is just about sufficient. فَصَبْرَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. It's sufficient risk that they have. And they're patient with that. Meaning they don't let this dunya distract them. Because we know that this dunya is full of so many challenges that we find. That many of us, our Muslim community, that's all that we thrive around, we revolve around. What do other people possess? What do other people own? If only I had that. If only I could do that. If only I could expand into that. If is the words of shaitan opening up the doors. You find more opening up doors of this dunya. If a person doesn't have to control it, drifts them away. Drifts them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَصَبْرَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. This individual. ثُمَّ نَفَدَ بِيَدِهِ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He clasped his hands, wrapped his hands. ثُمَّ قَالْ عُجِّلَتْ مَنِيَّتُهُ. This individual, death when it comes upon this individual. You find قَلَّتْ بَوَاكِهِ قَلَّتْ تُرَاثُهُ. Not many people even weep for this individual. And there's not many people to inherit from this individual. Obscure, unknown. Even when this person leaves this dunya, people still don't know who he is. وَهَذَا دَعْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ. That's you find this is the way of the salihin that we find. You find that some of the ulama, they write about them. That they used to take care of the people inside their community. And then when they died, and they found that there's no stipend, there's no grant, there's no money that's coming to certain families, certain individuals. When their wealth stopped, then they discover that the person who's sending, by the permission of Allah, sending them money, taking care of them was such and such individual. But now they've left this dunya. That's you find asir fi sadaqati. Sir in giving a sadaqah, in giving charity, helping other individuals that no one knows. When you've left this dunya, then people may begin to discover that's something you left behind for the community to benefit by, used to help other individuals. That's why in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدُ التَّقِي الْغَنِي الْخَفِي. Allah loves the servant who's a pious individual. الْغَنِي, rich. Rich in their heart, rich with their wealth, generous with their wealth. التَّقِي, a pious individual. Allah loves that type of individual who's committed and devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that manner. And thus we find the unknown believer. Because we live in a culture and environment that everybody wants to be known. Actions to be known by people. Actions to be visualized by people that we find. And thus you find al-ikhlas. Sincerity that we find is not a day's journey. It's a lifetime journey. Because you find many ulama said the most difficult thing upon their life is al-ikhlas. It's sincerity. مَنْ تَرَكَ عِبَادَةً لِلنَّاسِ فَهُوَ الرِّيَاحِ. Riya. Whoever leaves ibadah for the sake of the people, he becomes showing off. And whoever worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of the people, fahuwa shirk, becomes shirk. Person needs to fight it off. Fight all elements of that. You find fuqaha have discussed ahmiyatul ikhlas, about intention that we find. First three types of individual to be judged on the day of judgment. First three. Why? Why are these going to be the first three types of individuals? Aspirations that we all have as Muslims. All of us Muslims should have that aspiration. But you find flaws being dragged on their face, may Allah forbid, because of khalal fi niyatihim. khalal because of their intentions. Their intention was corrupt. Taught the Quran, taught knowledge for the sake of the people, for the praise of the people, gave wealth for the sake of the people, fought for the sake of the people. So these people will be dragged on their faces and thrown into Jahannam, may Allah forbid. From amongst the Muslims, first people to be judged that we find. The only time a person, ulama have discussed, when a person becomes open about their intentions or open about their actions, four different maratib that we find. Awwal, and we find that people are being hesitant. For example, giving charity, people all sitting there. The example is in the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, that whereby you find a poor individual came and asked for some wealth, nobody wanted to give it. Kept on asking, no one responded. Until one companion came and gave something. And then you find other companions began to follow suit. So then this began to please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So people were hesitant. So if with that intention, a person does something to encourage other people, this becomes a good action. To encourage other people to follow suit in that manner. We find likewise to remind people. When people become ghafilin, become negligent, people may not be reading certain salawat, certain prayers, doing a certain action. So a person does that in public to remind people that we're becoming negligent. We need to carry this out inside our lives. Thirdly, we find to teach people. Because some things could be unknown. Certain sunan could be unknown to the people. So the person has to teach the people, has to address the people, has to show the people. Like the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, he stood on the minbar and he performed the ruku, performed the sujood, stepped back down from the minbar to show the people. Famous hadith in Bukhari, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. To show physically to the people, this is how you offer your salah. This is how you imitate me inside your salah. So these are all ways that sometimes the person needs to do certain actions to encourage the people. Fourthly, that we find to distract people. When people are engaged in qila wa qal, in ghiba, in backbiting, in this and that, so the person begins to do a certain action, begins to read Quran, begins to remind the people, begins to do certain actions to try to derail them away from these frivolous activities, things of the dunya, and remind them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all good actions. Bi-idhnillah, the person will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We find that in this media world that we find, this global world that we find, a few words of advice to some of the younger brothers around us, or even those elderly individuals around us, that we're not against the use of media, but we find that more and more inside our society that the use of media, whether it be Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, that we find that there are certain barriers whereby some of us have gone beyond that. That life just becomes revolving around that people to visualize our performance of ibadah, to people to visualize our performance of hajj, our siyam, our salah, us being in the masjid, us giving sadaqah, us doing certain actions. It's become unfortunate that it's become, and we're not questioning people's intentions, but sometimes it's apparent that everything just becomes visualization towards other people. And likewise, find that parameters that we find revolves around likes and dislikes. Or whoever clicks a like or dislike on a person's YouTube channel or whatever it may be, people get worried about that. If you study the history of some of these YouTubers that you find, some of them, and this is no exaggeration, and one of them who has so many millions of followers that we find, went in a state of depression. Went in a state of depression because people began to dislike certain things he was doing. He began to see a psychiatrist. He became upset about his life. That's sad that we find that for us Muslims, that shouldn't become our life. Likes and dislikes are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we find Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, he says that if people praise you and people defame you, makes no difference to you. Makes no difference to you. Whether someone praises you or someone defames you, it doesn't make no difference to you. You continue in your focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what a Muslim is. doesn't revolve their life on certain things. And likewise, in these use of this media, social media that we find, billahi alaykum, if it's not allowed for a Muslim man or a Muslim woman to look at an opposite person, look at a strange woman in the flesh and blood, to look at her directly in her face, la yajuz shar'an, for a Muslim man to look at a strange woman, how can it be that on Facebook that you attach women on your Facebook, you discuss with strange women, you keep their faces on your Facebook, and women that who come on Facebook, those who even wear hijab that we find, who plaster their faces with beautification, with zina, haram alayhinna, haram. Ulama who allowed a woman to disclose her face, those ulama who've allowed a woman to display her face and display her hands, all of them, bila istithna, all of them say, awla lil mar'a, if she has beauty and she wears beauty on her face, wears makeup on her face, and tughatti waj'aha, to cover her face in public. That's all the ulama have said that. And this is a sickness inside our society, that women, sisters, mind the hishma, no shame. As if when men, at the youth, ulama have dissected, what is a dayuth? A dayuth la yadkhulu al-jannah. Dayuth will not enter into paradise. It's asked, who is a dayuth? One of the famous ulama was asked this question. Sheikh Siddiq Hassan Khan was a famous muhaddith that we find. And his wife would not observe veil appropriately. So his students said to him, Sheikh, ma ma'na hadhi al-kalima al-dayuth? What's the meaning of this kalima? He said, come tomorrow at this certain time and ask me this question. Ask me this question. He was married to the queen of Bhopal. He was married to a queen. And when he was in the buggy with his wife, and his students came and said, Sheikh, you asked us to come here and ask you this question. What is the meaning of dayuth? He said, this is the meaning of dayuth. A man who doesn't tell his wife to dress appropriately, she dresses how she wants. This hit his wife's heart. Al-Yom, look at pictures of the Queen of Bhopal standing there with delicates of the world, and she's covered from head to toe, concealing herself, because this penetrated into her heart. Dayuth la yadkhul jannah. It should penetrate our hearts, that we have sisters around us, our community around us, and people around us, that they conduct themselves outside the parameters of the Sharia. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. Surah Al-Mu'minun that we find, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights, Surah Al-Nur, Surah of Light, say to the believing men to lower their gazes and to guard their chastity. Then it says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believing women, lower your gazes and guard your chastity, your private parts. These are teachings of Islam. We should not be ashamed about them. We shouldn't be upset about them. Just as we began with, unfortunately amongst Muslims that we find, that why don't we look at women in their faces? Why don't we tag women inside our conduct? Why don't we discuss with women inside our conduct? Because why? Because we follow what the Sharia tells us to do inside our lives, not what the world around us tells us to carry out inside our lives. And thus we find, in conclusion, to be unknown. You find, whether it be the black man or the black woman, who used to take care of the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, used to clean it. Some ulama questioned the narration, ayyihal, but majority of the ulama, they accepted. You find that this woman, when she passed away, when she died, after some days, they informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And what happened to him? Alayhi salatu wasalam, he became angry. Why didn't you inform me? Why didn't you tell me? They thought this woman has no value. They thought this person has no value. The person who would clean the masjid. Today, what do we think of a person who cleans the masjid, who takes care of the masjid? As-Sahaba, this is ikhlas. Place them anywhere. Place them to clean the masjid, to build the masjid, to fight in the back, in the middle, in the front, holding the banner, going forward, marching forward, removing a position, made no difference to them. That's you find the difference between this ummah today and them. Abu Ubaidah Jarrah. You find that a letter was given to Khalid ibn Walid for Umar ibn Khattab. Because people began to think, maybe Khalid ibn Walid, because via him, all forms of shirk, all forms of people begin to think, victory is given by so and so individual. He sent a letter, tell Khalid ibn Walid to step down. Tell him to step down and you take his position. But you find that he refused to do that at a moment in time. He just let the battle carry on. When Khalid ibn Walid is told to step down, it makes no difference to him. It makes no difference to him inside his life. He doesn't become emotional. He doesn't become personal. That's what we Muslims become today. That we become personal about the affairs. Wherever we go, whatever we do, as we began with, all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's you find. Never let the comments of people, never let them upset you. Never let them worry you inside your life. That's you find in our life, it becomes rebuttal. Refutations, where we can become what? Many times you study them in great detail, they become personal. A personal agenda. Ar-radud yakun rad al-shar'i. Refutation becomes an Islamic refutation, not at a personality, not at an individual. Ala adilla, upon evidences. That a person, may Allah guide that individual. May Allah show love to that individual. This person has strayed away, doesn't understand this point, made a mistake here. That's how this Muslim advocates themselves. That's how Muslim resembles themselves upon this dunya, about khair and goodness towards other individuals. Not a life of exposing another individual. Because whoever tries to expose another individual unnecessarily, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed them, even if it happened to be inside their own home in secrecy. Allah will expose them, their traits and their characteristics. So we should all pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to conceal our faults and mistakes. Conceal the faults and mistakes of our brothers and sisters around us. Except for that which becomes apparent, they need to be reminded about. No Muslim is better than another Muslim. Allah will judge that. But we just try to tarhibun nas, as we began with fada'il. We try to encourage one another. Encourage one another to become good Muslims, good obedient servants, good individuals that will only benefit our own selves. And that's we find towards the end of Surah Al-Hijr that we find as well. A surah that begins speaking about the Quran and about these people who begin to have characteristics against the Quran, people of the Quran. Whereby Allah concludes that we've given you the seven off repeated verses, as ulama mentioned, Surah Al-Fatiha and the Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that don't let these people upset you regarding the statements they make towards you, Ar-Rasul alayhi salam. Don't let people upset you. Continue inside your journey until eventually what? وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. بِدَايَةٌ وَنِهَايَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Carry on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until al-yaqeen comes to you bi-ma'na al-maut. Istamir fi ibadatillah. Continue in your journey, your ibadah, your worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until death comes upon every single one of us. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين قوموا لصلاتكم يرحمكم الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله